You're with us on The Morning Show. I'm Kate Archer-Kent. The first public hearings of the House impeachment inquiry into President Trump begin in about an hour and 25 minutes from now. You can hear live coverage on WPR. We'll bring it to you on our NPR News and Classical Music Network. It starts at 9. It's live coverage of the public impeachment inquiry hearings at 9 on the NPR News and Classical Music Network and online at WPR.org. Right now, you have a line to Milwaukee Mayor Tom Barrett. We have a number of issues that we want to discuss. Here are a few: his latest budget proposal, how the city is getting ready to host the Democratic National Convention, and the streetcar at the one-year mark. So what questions do you have for the Milwaukee mayor? What key issues should the city be focused on fixing right now? Join in, 800-642-1234. Tom Barrett is Milwaukee's 40th mayor. He's been at the helm since 2004. He was formerly a member of the Wisconsin State Assembly and Senate. He served five terms in Congress, and he joins us from our studios in downtown Milwaukee. Mayor Barrett, welcome back to the Ideas Network.
It's always great to be here. Thank you for having me.
So we're inching closer to 2020, the presidential election, and the DNC, the Democratic National Convention in Milwaukee. Is your city prepared?
We are certainly going to be prepared, and we are getting ready right now. Imagine having four of the biggest weddings that you can imagine on four consecutive days and preparing for that. But this is the first time in the history of the state of Wisconsin, so obviously the first time in the history of this city, Milwaukee, where we are hosting a major political party convention. So it is a huge undertaking, and we've been working very closely with the Secret Service. We've been working with the host committee. We've been working with the national committee and many, many vendors here in Wisconsin to get ready for it. But it's very, very exciting.
Well, January 7th, you have the first onslaught of the walkthrough of the facilities, an onslaught of journalists and tech people coming to check out what the facilities look like. Are they ready?
Oh, yeah, they are absolutely ready. And part of what helped us get this was Fiserv Forum. When we had the initial tour for the group that made the selection as to have the convention in Milwaukee, that tour occurred less than 48 hours after the ribbon cutting for the Fiserv Forum. So it was brand spanking new. There had never been an event in it. And it's a state-of-the-art facility. So in a lot of different cities, when you have an event like this, you have to do some retrofitting and you have to bring in the newest in fiber optics and things like that. We have the newest in fiber optics and all of the communication apparatus that's necessary for a convention. And it doesn't have to be retrofitted. It's there now. And I think that was very appealing to them.
Shifting to lead, you've made it a priority to monitor lead levels in vulnerable newborns. How much does this help lower risks for lead exposure in children in Milwaukee?
Well, we have made considerable progress, and we have more progress that we need to make, but we have made considerable progress in lowering the elevated lead levels in children that we have tested. And we just had a meeting on this yesterday. I was very, very pleased with the progress we're making. We want to go even farther, though. We want to make sure that there are no kids in this community who are exposed to lead. We don't want to see any elevated blood levels, and that's our goal. And the focus is on making sure that we get rid of the lead paint in homes. We know that that is the number one thing that we can do. Over time, we obviously want to replace our infrastructure, our lead laterals, but we are making progress, and we want to just continue that. It's certainly a long-term project, but our budget contains a lot of money to deal with this issue, and we're going to continue to make it a priority.
So at your meeting yesterday, where do you see the progress happening? I mean, what specifically is going on that you say, aha, that is the turnaround right there?
Well, I think it's not an aha moment where it occurred overnight. This has been something that we have been working on, and what we're doing, again, as you pointed out, we are testing our small kids for lead, and we are seeing smaller numbers of kids with the elevated blood levels. I think that means that our strategy, which has been to remediate these homes, to get rid of the lead-based paint in these homes, that strategy is working. It's a long-term strategy. It takes a lot of work because these homes were all not built in 1 year, and you can't remediate them all in 1 year. But it's a commitment that I've made, and it's something that we are really putting a lot of resources into achieving this goal.
Let's look at a news item, the acid attack. The Hispanic man reported being attacked in Milwaukee with acid on November 1st. And you said that type of racial verbal attack is condoned at the highest levels of government. The White House said it was disgusting that you had pointed a finger at President Trump. What is your response there, your reaction?
My response is that he and all leaders, we got to bring down the temperature. We got to bring down the temperature. And we can't have this division in this country. I'm trying to avoid divisions in our country, not to create them. And so what I would ask all political leaders is you just can't paint with this broad brush for everybody. You just can't do that. And I don't think it's productive. I think it might be politically effective for some people, or at least they perceive it to be. But I don't think that's who we are as a people. And so my underlying message was, let's lower the temperature. Let's not have these types of verbal attacks that occur because people listen to them.
What can government leaders do to decrease hate crimes then? Where can we move the needle?
I think we can lead. And I can tell you that I see people from all backgrounds. This city is very multiracial. It's multicultural. And there's good people. There's good people everywhere. And I think if you start with the notion, let's look for the good in people rather than let's try to look for ways to divide us, I think that we're all on this planet together. So let's learn how to get along with each other.
We're catching up with Milwaukee Mayor Tom Barrett discussing a range of issues. You can join in with what's on your mind. What do you think of the city's streetcar? Are you concerned about reckless driving in Milwaukee? Join in the conversation, 800-642-1234. Email ideas at WPR.org. Mayor Barrett, let's look at the streetcar for a moment called The Hop. Just celebrated 1 year anniversary. And when it was created, there was always expansion that was on the books. And the lakefront line is on hold because of this apartment tower downtown hasn't broken ground yet. Do you think the city should move to a plan B here?
Well, I feel very, very good about the first year of the Hop, because what we had in the first year is we had over 800,000 people who wrote it. And no matter how people felt about it initially, there's no question when you have 800,000 riders in the first year that people like this. And a lot of this was due, of course, to the Potawatomi. And we're very thankful to the Potawatomi for stepping forward and sponsoring this. But we're very, very confident that the line that will go to the lakefront will be completed. That's something that is basically already – the tracks have literally been laid for that. So that's going to happen. That's for sure. We want to expand it even farther than that. I want to expand it north into the African-American neighborhoods. I want to expand it south into the Hispanic neighborhoods. I want it to serve the entire city of Milwaukee. And I know that this is going to take a lot of work, but I remain committed because people have benefited from it, and I think that's a good thing. It's not going to be the type of thing you're going to have throughout the state of Wisconsin or rural areas or sparsely populated suburban areas, but where you have a lot of density and a lot of people, people are riding it, and that's a good thing.
Let's take a look at reckless driving with Erica in Milwaukee leading us off with a question. Hi, Erica.
Hi. So I live in Milwaukee. I drive from the north to the south side every day and back in the evening. Every day I see at least three people run red lights, and there's right-hand drivers that just come up and swoop over. They come from the left all the way over to the right. And now we've got some children who've been, killed or, harmed. I just think there's got to be some creative solutions, because it's almost more scary to me than the shooting. And I live on the north side and appreciate the city, love the city, but something has got to, there's got to be some creative solutions from our leadership. And I'm wondering what's in the hopper, what's happening.
Mayor Barrett.
There's two different things here. I think there's a short-term concern and there's a long-term concern. And the short-term concern, obviously, is that we have to apprehend the people who do this. There is legislation that would allow us to have some cameras. We think that is part of the problem, is making sure that we can identify people and apprehend them quickly, because you can't have a police officer on every street, although obviously we want to have our police being proactive in making sure they're doing what they can to deter and end reckless driving. But over the long run, I also think we have an issue here, because I look at the ages of people who are involved in this, and oftentimes they're late teens, early 20s. And it's how do you get through to them that this is not a video game? And I do wonder whether having young people grow up on these video games and whatever it is they're doing, they can do it and no one gets hurt. I've seen the scenes. I've been to the places. I've been to the funerals. This is a serious problem. So I agree with Erica. This is a serious problem. And we're working with police. I want to work with the schools. I think the schools can play a role with this. If you look at what we've done with the reduction in fire fatalities, it's because we've been able to get to kids at a young age. Maybe that's what we need to do. And again, we're trying to figure out in real time, all right, what's the most effective way to have this happen? Because, again, I drive the same streets that Erica does, and I've seen the reckless driving as well, and it's very, very disconcerting.
You've asked Governor Evers for state aid to fight reckless driving. Are you hopeful Milwaukee will get it?
Well, we need additional help from the state. We need a stronger partnership with the state, no question about it. And Governor Evers has been very responsive to us. We're also trying to work with the state legislators to let them know how much we are in need of additional resources for our police department. And I'm hopeful that we'll be able to create a bridge that will allow us to get those resources, because that's something that we need right here. Right now, the budget for the Milwaukee Police Department is larger than the entire property tax levy for the city of Milwaukee. And I'm betting that's not occurring in any of the places that are listening to this show other than Milwaukee right now.
We're talking through a number of issues on the table with Milwaukee Mayor Tom Barrett. You can join in, 800-642-1234. What questions are on your mind about quality of life in Milwaukee, and what city issues radiate out to the rest of Wisconsin? Join in, 800-642-1234. You can tweet us at WPR Mornings. We'll be back for more conversation in just a moment with Milwaukee Mayor Tom Barrett here on the Ideas Network. If you're just joining us, we're talking with Milwaukee Mayor Tom Barrett here on The Morning Show. I'm Kate Archer-Kent. Thanks for being here. We're exploring a number of different issues that impact the city and then that ripple out to the rest of Wisconsin. Will the Democratic National Convention bring you to Milwaukee in July? Upwards of 20,000 members of the media will cover the convention, and that first walkthrough of convention facilities is set for early January. Do you live in the city? What issues are on your mind that you want the mayor's office to address? Join in, 800-642-1234. And Milwaukee Mayor Tom Barrett stays with us to the top of the hour from our studios in Milwaukee. Let's go back to the phones now with Patricia joining us from the south side of Milwaukee. Hi, Patricia. What is your question?
Good morning. Mayor Barrett, I spoke with you at Connect with the Homeless at Marquette, and I'm wondering why we don't have more warming stations open right now, even though we've had this cold, cold weather so much earlier than usual. And secondly, what efforts are being made in order to permanently house more of our homeless people, not just the people under the bridge? Thank you.
Well, let me start with the second one first, because I just made an announcement earlier this week, which was a very exciting announcement. And I have to give a lot of credit to Racine, because Racine was the one that led the charge on this. We announced earlier this week that we are going to have tiny homes. This is a new project on the northern part of the city, where we're going to have between 40 and 48 homes that are 240 square feet for homeless veterans primarily. And what this is going to do is it's going to allow both men and women to have their own home. In the middle, there will be a 10,000 square foot community center, which will have showers, will have kitchen facilities, will have services for the veterans who are living there. So that's something that's important to us. And I think that that's really, really a solid step forward. Also earlier this week, we announced that the the warming centers are opening early, and I think that that's a big plus as well. So the Capuchin, the community services on State Street opened its overnight warming shelter last year in December. They're opening now. The Abdullah Family Warming Center on 30th Street has opened. Repairs of the Breach is serving people. So all three organizations are they're looking for volunteers and donations now. But fortunately, they responded when we reached out to them, and this is something that they would be doing anyway. When I say reached out to them, they recognized the problem. So hopefully, and the weather forecasts are, it's going to get a little warmer. But December 1st is when we anticipate they will open for the winter. So this is something that's on our front burner. It's something that we know is an issue, that there are people who don't have a safe place and a warm place to stay. So we're committed to working with these organizations that provide these beds.
Patricia, thanks. Let's now go to Christine, who's joining us from Eau Claire this morning. Hi, Christine.
Good morning.
Good morning.
I appreciate it. Good morning. I'm very concerned about the persistent achievement gap that's the worst in the nation. And it seems like it gets announced every year, but there doesn't seem to be any concern and real address, I don't know what's being done, but the achievement gap gets announced every year. It's the worst in the nation, and I'd like to know what's actually being done about it, because if the Bucks need a new stadium, by God, they get one. But if a third grader can't read, well, I don't know. So I'd like an answer.
Christine, thanks. Yeah.
And I think that that's a very good question. There's an organization here called Milwaukee Succeeds, which brings together representatives from the public schools, from the choice schools, from the charter schools, and has community leaders that try to focus on all of the kids. And we just went through an evaluation of what we have done. And like you, there's a lot of frustration. There's a lot of frustration because this is a problem that has persisted. And the focus is moving more and more towards putting the resources into early education, that you have to get to the kids even before they get to kindergarten so that they can have that exposure. Just the number of words that kids are exposed to between birth and 3 years old is an important indicator on how well they're going to do. So it's to try to get kids exposed to a lot more of this at an early age. And it's going to take a partnership. It's going to take a partnership with the state. It's going to take a partnership with the philanthropic community. But clearly, it's an issue, and clearly, it's an issue that we have to do a better job on.
You proposed in your 2020 budget that would reduce the number of Milwaukee police officers by 60. Why do you support that change?
Well, that was a fiscal decision, not a philosophical decision, and that's an important distinction. If I had the resources, I would have not done that. But this goes back to a statement I made earlier in the show that the budget for the Milwaukee Police Department, which went up by millions of dollars this year, is actually larger than the entire property tax levy for the city of Milwaukee. And that is not a sustainable business model. The problem we have here, and this affects many communities in the state of Wisconsin, not just Milwaukee, but we are in handcuffs. The state does not give us the flexibility that we want so that we can have revenues that allow us to deal with issues like public safety, like early education, like lead remediation, like replacing old, aging streets. We need to be able to move away from relying so much on property taxes and so much on state aid, which has been stagnant or falling literally for decades. What I have said is if the state gives me the ability to go to our voters and have a sales tax, I will put another class into the police academy next year, which would avoid reducing the number of police, reduce the 60 police. I don't want to see that happen, and I'm looking for a way to make sure it doesn't happen.
So Milwaukee County leaders as well as state lawmakers are proposing this local sales tax option for Milwaukee. And you say if that happens, you would put it toward law enforcement, those dollars.
I can be even more specific. I would put some towards law enforcement so we don't have that cut. I would put some in the fire department. I would put some towards property tax relief. I would put some towards lead remediation. And we'd put some towards making sure that we're replacing more streets. In addition, we want to make sure that it's in putting money in towards law enforcement. We also have other measures that are not reliant on the police, but will allow us to have more of a public health approach to reducing crime as well.
Brian from Port Washington called in, couldn't stay with us. Brian wanted to know if Milwaukee might join other cities and become a sanctuary city, protecting undocumented immigrants from deportation or prosecution.
My view on this is that I want our police to make sure that we are dealing with the problems that we have as a city. That means if a person has a burned out headlight, I don't want our Milwaukee police to use their resources to have that person deported. Now, if someone's a felon, that's a different story. But we simply do not feel it is appropriate for our police that need to work with our residents and need to build trust with our residents to do the work that the federal government has jurisdiction over. The federal government is going to do what the federal government is going to do. I want to make sure that we're keeping our streets safe and that we're building a community bond between our residents and our police. And that does not occur if our local police have to be an arm of the federal government in terms of immigration.
Very quickly, Jeremy in Racine, go ahead.
Hi, thanks for taking my call. If the current budget does not allow to have, or you have to reduce your officers 60 by 60, how do you have money to expand your rail, light rail in Milwaukee, but don't have money for your law enforcement, which is more needed than the light rail at this particular moment?
And the answer is that we do not use property tax dollars for the HOP. We do use property tax dollars for the police department. And so there, in this current budget that I have, there are no dollars, no property tax dollars that go towards the HOP at all. So that should answer your question. I agree that the property tax dollars should go towards should go towards making the city safer.
Mayor Barrett, thank you so much for joining us.
Well, thank you. It's my pleasure to join you.
That was Milwaukee Mayor Tom Barrett, who joined us from Wisconsin Public Radio Studios in Milwaukee. Just ahead, an hour-long conversation about immigration. We hear from an organizer about the conditions of migrant families at our country's southern border with Mexico. And then a historian joins us to explore the influence of immigrants on Wisconsin's culture today. I'm Kate Archer-Kent. This is The Morning Show. You're listening to the Ideas Network.